want to lead us in just a short little meditation to prepare us for this 40-plus day journey that we are going on here in the next few weeks. And I promise it's going to be short, and we're going to get to the imposition of ashes and celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And I want us to begin to think about wilderness. But first, I'm going to need a volunteer from the youth. I love having the youth here. Yes, so I need somebody who's feeling strong tonight. Yeah, are you voluntold or volunteering? All right, I need somebody in 5 seconds. Come on. Trent's going to come, and he's going to drop the hammer on somebody. Ah, there we go. Yes, all right. Right underneath here, I've got some weights, and so I can move this chair for you. Go ahead and pick those up. Yours is a really simple thing. I'm not even going to ask you to show off your muscles. All I need you to do is just stand right up here and just hold those. Can you do that? Until I say. You good? If you get tired, we won't make fun of you. You can sit down, but you just can't put them on the floor. Don't drop them, but you can set them on you. I don't care what you do. Just don't let go, okay? All right. He's nervous now. That's good. All right, so wilderness. Back to wilderness. I'm curious, when I say the word wilderness, what comes to your mind? What instantly begins to fill your mind's eye? Let's go ahead and have a little fun. We're a full crowd, but that's okay. Lob them out. What do you got? Trees. What kind of trees? Pine, oak, everything. Okay, what else? Palm trees. That's my kind of wilderness. I like that. Okay, what else? This is good. I love the kid interaction. We want some kids, but adults, you can participate too. What are you thinking? Desert? Solitude? We got beach on the mind right now. That's good. Let me entertain you with this for just a moment. If I was to find a marker, it's up here somewhere. There we go. Tucker, you doing good? All right. If I was to have a little marker here, and let's just say I was going to start sketching out a little tree picture. Somebody mentioned trees. Now, if Rev John was here, he would have an awesome watercolor for us. Seriously, that was really good. I'm thinking like a tree that's kind of scraggly. Like when I think of wilderness instantly, it's kind of, my brain instantly goes to like the spooky scene. It's dark. It's like I can hear howling, you know? It's dry and arid. It's not the place I'm going to want to hang out. That's where my mind instantly goes. I can see the parched earth. It's like the cracks in the ground. I'm imagining a Lord of the Rings scene where they're traversing this barren land. But then there's also the flip side. If I sit and think about it long enough, I think, well, wilderness, that might also evoke, maybe not palm trees or the beach, but it might evoke some other feelings for certain people in this room. Maybe when you hear wilderness, you think, oh, I love the wilderness. I think of big, green, lush, thick trees. There's lots of room in these trees. You see, I'm not an artist, all right? But maybe it's fruitful. It's this wonderful place to be. Maybe when you hear wilderness, you're thinking wide open spaces, room for fresh air, your soul to breathe a little bit. You can hear the running waters of the streams. It's all right, it gets heavy. And you're thinking of wilderness, and you're thinking, let's go pop up a tent, and let's just enjoy the stars in the sky. Just me, God, and nature. You can hear yourself think, right? So you've got some very different pictures of wilderness, and if you kind of draw a line down the middle of that, you think one place is maybe where you feel this pull towards death. This other place in which it's like your soul is being beckoned to life. It's kind of interesting. There's a particular sheep that became famous a long time ago. Somehow I missed this when it actually happened. But there was this famous sheep by the name of Shrek. Anybody remember this? I mean, you got to go way back, right? Shrek the sheep made his landmark on the national scene in 2004. Going back, but this actually resurfaced on my Facebook feed here this year. So always check the dates on your Facebook reposts. All right. So Shrek the sheep, he had a vision, per se, of the wilderness being much in this side of things, in the category of life. Somehow, he escaped his owner, his master, his shepherd, and whether it was an intentional run-for-it moment or he just wandered away and somehow got separated and completely lost, he was missing for 6 years. 6 years. In 2004, somebody found Shrek. He was kind of an easy target to spot at this point because he got a little more than he bargained for. Maybe he was kind of setting out saying, I'm free, I'm into this life. But he got a little more than he bargained for because he gained something besides his freedom and independence. He gained 60 pounds. 60 pounds of wool. That's a lot of wool. Tucker, how does 60 pounds feel? Not good? All right. You ready to put him down? Yeah, okay. You're a good sport. You can put him down. Thank you. Everybody say thank you to Tucker. Thank you. Tucker was up here holding 60 pounds. And if you can imagine carrying 60 pounds of that dead weight for all that time, the accumulation, and he's probably just kind of, I don't know if one day he was like, I'm starting to feel a little heavy. Who knows? But there was this point when the shepherd recognized Shrek needs a haircut. And so in 2004, this national television moment happened, and Shrek got the ultimate haircut. And so they trimmed him down. He was taken to the shearer, and he lost all of that weight. Pretty incredible moment. I wonder, though, as I think about Shrek and this weight and this season of wilderness, if maybe we can identify with Shrek a little bit. Shrek the sheep. Sometimes we go roaming out looking for things that we think are going to bring us life and happiness and fulfillment. And we find that over the course of time, we're gaining some weight. We're beginning to suffocate under the pressures of those things that we've pursued. I wonder if sometimes we begin to carry a lot of extra worry and anxiety. Maybe bills are piling up, whether from our own choices that went poorly or from circumstances that came our way that you could never foresee, you would never wish. Maybe it's something like we're just trying to portray this image. We're trying to attain this popularity standard, or maybe this public image that says, I have it all put together, I have arrived, I am worth something. And maybe the pursuit of that is now getting really, really heavy. I love the season of Lent. I didn't grow up celebrating the season of Lent like we do here at St. John's. And so over the last several years, it's been a discovery of the beauty of what this gift is to us in the church calendar. Because Lent is really the season of returning, of repentance, of having our Shrek moments in which we come back to the Good Shepherd. And frankly, I bet Shrek felt a little awkward when he came back for his haircut. 60 pounds of wool, which accumulates to about 20 adult man suits, that's a lot. I imagine when you lose all of that, he probably felt a little, not only lighter, but maybe vulnerable. Probably a little naked, a little exposed. If sheep can feel embarrassed, maybe on national TV he felt a little embarrassed. I don't know. But interestingly, this particular breed would typically experience their shearing once a year. The shepherd would trim all that off once a year, and so that they could enter into this next season, into the rest of the year, the new year, light and unencumbered. And Lent is really that type of a season for us, this yearly coming back to the Good Shepherd, allowing our vulnerability to be laid open and exposed before Him. Maybe even feeling a little bit like our soul is naked before the Lord. But you know what? There's a grace that we encounter in this season. I love that Shrek was found in the caves in the wilderness of New Zealand. Because in these wilderness moments throughout the biblical storyline, big things happen. Even in moments of solitude. But these are what I would call defining moments for God's people in wilderness places. They are places and spaces of spiritual preparation. They're places of deep communion and relationship building with the Lord. They're places of testing. They're also places in which their identity is radically formed and shaped, in which they are ushered into and invited to live into the identity that God has spoken over them and invited them into. Ironically, the wilderness, the desert places in the scriptures are places of both life and death, much like we see on my little illustration here. There are places that will bring us low, much like Lent will, but simultaneously will lift us up. There are places and spaces that will strip away things like our pride, our self-indulgence, our excesses, our self-glory, those pursuits of vanity. Strip those away so that we may discover and put on and drink in the fullness of Christ. This is the gift that we have in Jesus. In fact, theologians would use some big words here to describe this paradox. Mortification, this dying, this death of the fleshly nature within us. Putting it to death, crucifying the sinful nature. Mortification. But the paradox, the other side of vivification, this coming to life, this work of God and by the Holy Spirit in bringing a new life and working that in us, this identity. And so for the next 4 weeks, that's where we're going to go, into this paradox of dying and living, of putting to death, of coming into new life. And we're going to follow the Good Shepherd, Jesus himself, into his own wilderness spaces. We're going to journey with him into Matthew 4 and Luke 4, these accounts of his wilderness temptation, his preparation for his public ministry that will eventually lead to what we know is the cross, his crucifixion, the atonement for our sin, and his glorious resurrection that we might have hope in his life. That's where we're going. And so I invite you to step into that season with us. You know, admittedly, we probably have varying degrees of commitment and participation in the Lenten season. It would be incredible if we filled out this space every week with people that were hungry to pursue the Lord. Like Trent said earlier, we believe that this season, we genuinely believe this, that there is something unique stirring in our congregation. And that we want to invite you as the people of God of St. John's to join us in seeking the Lord. I was entertaining this thought today, and I don't know if it's completely accurate, so you take it, think about it. But I was wondering, is it possible to pray? We talk about this season as prayer. Is it possible to pray and yet not really seek the Lord? I think maybe, and here's maybe why, because is it possible for me to talk to my wife without really seeking to know her and listen to her? Lauren, busted, right? Guilty as charged. I can definitely be present in a space, I can be sitting and having a conversation, but still not actively pursuing and seeking, and we just feel God calling us to get serious about seeking the Lord. In prayer, privately, but also corporately. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to craft some prayer focuses. We want our kids to come and be a part of this. And so if we've got moms and dads in the house, grandpas and grandmas, we want you to be connected with your kids and your grandchildren if you have them here. If you're single, don't have kids with us, you can still jump in and pray with us. And so we want this to be an integrated experience in which everybody is praying together, pursuing Christ together in a creative, engaging in an interesting way. And so that's where we're going for the next 4 weeks. We're going to take the posture that we remember tonight, a posture of humility. We're going to remember who God is and who we are. Who God is and who we're not. We're going to remember our mortality. We're going to remember the suffering of Christ. And we're going to remember that it is from dust that we came, and it is to dust we shall return. And yet because of the grace of God, we have hope of eternal joy in his presence. And so this evening, we prepare our hearts in this special time with Ash Wednesday, with the imposition of the ashes. And I invite you to join with me in our order of worship as we prepare our hearts in this wilderness space. And even tonight, as you approach the altar, you might notice that we have some visual representations of a wilderness space to help us engage our senses and think deeply about this time. And so if this is your first time with us for an Ash Wednesday, it's going to be quite simple, but we have a full house. And so I'm going to give you a couple opening instructions about how this will unfold, and then our ushers will help us work through this. But everybody's going to have the opportunity to come forward right up the middle aisle. We have the bread and the cup, and our bread will be available for you to take individually. And I actually will need two council members. Can I have two council members? Raise your hand. One and two. Sorry, buddy, you're not council yet. All right, there's one, two. Thank you. I'm going to have our two council members hold our cups, our trays of cups, on each side. And so we will just channel two lines through, and then Trent and I will impose ashes in this mark of tangible remembrance that it's this dust that we come from. It's this mortality that we bear. It's to dust that we shall return, and so we shall humble ourselves before the Lord and recognize our need for his grace. If you're not a member of St. John's, I do want to say this. You are welcome to come and participate with us in the Lord's Supper. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins, if you're putting your faith in him, please, you are part of our family, our wider community of faith. We'd love for you to be a part of that. You might notice on your bulletin, we invite those of the age and faith to receive the bread and cup. And so for us, that is those who have gone through confirmation and are older. And so we will invite you to participate. So let us prepare our hearts now for the imposition of ashes and the institution of the bread and the cup. Dear friends in Christ, I invite you to receive these ashes as a sign of the spirit of penitence with which we shall keep the season of Lent. And so God our Father, you create us from the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be for us a sign of our penitence, a symbol of our mortality. For it is by your grace alone that we receive eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and after having given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after the supper, he took the cup, and with his disciples there that evening meal, he said, "This cup is the new covenant given in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this as often as you eat in remembrance of me." And so let us prepare our hearts now in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the gift of this table that we draw near to. We thank you for the visible reminders, realities that lead us into the invisible spiritual truths that we enjoy and we receive by faith. And so we consecrate the bread and the cup to you, to your glory. And we consecrate it for our good, that it may edify us and build our faith, drawing us closer to your heart and reminding us of our dependence upon you. So prepare our hearts now as we go before you and come before you in confession.
If you'll join me one more time with your order of worship of the prayer of confession. Lamb of God, we are burdened. We do not love you as we should. We forget our dependence on you and do not honor you. Instead of glorifying you, we try to bring ourselves glory. Lamb of God, we are burdened. We do not love others as we should. We hurry through our days and miss opportunities to be your hands and feet. We judge quickly, respond thoughtlessly. Lamb of God, we are burdened. We do not love ourselves as we should. We disparage our appearances, criticize our best efforts, and misuse our bodies. Lamb of God, we are burdened. We are weighed down by the bad things that are done to us. We hold grudges, harbor bad feelings, and believe lies told about us. Lamb of God, we are burdened. We are overwhelmed by sin. Man of sorrows, you know our pain and suffering. By your wounds, we are healed. So take our burdens, we pray, and free us from sin. And hear the assurance of pardon. It says, by grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God through Christ our Lord. And in faith, we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. Having now offered our confession and prepared our hearts for the table, we invite you to come as the ushers dismiss. I'm going to invite our two council members to come forward and to join us at the table. And so as you go and depart, may you go so in the hope of the season and in the humility and the posture of what this day reminds us, that we are constantly in need of grace. And so come to the table. You are invited.